now. Say hi to 5 people right now, people you haven't met before. Get out of the way. Jeez. If you've never met them, say hello to them. Give them a high five. Shake their hand. Tell them your name. Tell them your social security number, your credit card number. Kids Ministry, see Miss Jazinia in the back. Kids Ministry, you are dismissed. Say hi to one more person, one more person, one more person, one more person. You don't have to get up, just turn your head, turn your head. Hi, Bruce. How you doing? Hi, Bruce. Dan Landis, how you doing, sir? Good to see you, good to see you, good looking. Woo! Well, good morning, Christ Church. Good morning! Hey, it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, there's a reason for joy this morning, y'all. There's a reason for joy. The air that is flowing through you right now, your ability to have your senses, being here and with some awesome people. Here's another reason for joy. Michigan lost yesterday. Dude, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a sinner in the back. We got a sinner in the back. We need to pray for him. put some holy oil on him. Make sure it's hot. But no, so relax. What's going on, guys? Hey, can we say hello to all of our online family, those who are watching online? I don't know if you guys know this. I want to share a statistic with you guys. Here at our Old Brooklyn campus, we have over 100 people weekly, just on Sunday mornings, over 100 people online who are tuning in and watching us. Man, over 100 people. We have seen just God being at work. We've seen people all the way from Nebraska watching. I don't know what they, you know, what they got to do here in Cleveland, Ohio, but we got people from Nebraska. We got family all the way. We got international family in Tanzania. Watching online as well too, man. God is blessing us in a very, very profound way. We're gonna be talking about the blessings of God in just a little bit, but we just want to say thank you, God, just for all of that good work. Just got a couple announcements for you guys, things to look forward to that are coming up. Number one, after our 11 o'clock service, so not after this service, but after our 11 o'clock service today, we're gonna be having a come and see a luncheon, and all the come and see luncheon is for you to feel like if you want to know more about who we are as a church and you want to get connected and you feel God is moving you into a direction to be connected and get involved, man. This is a perfect opportunity to be a part of this. Now, again, this is the 9:30 service, so maybe later on you could come back for those who live closer and hang out with us. We're going to have some food. We're going to have, of course, a bunch of our volunteers, the leaders there, people you can get to know and meet. It's the best way to get connected in that type of way. Next week, we're going to be having our Lord's Supper. So next week, we're going to be having our Lord's Supper for during the 9:30 service. But then also, we're going to be celebrating baby dedications next week as well. That's going to be during the 11 o'clock. So, of course, if you're interested in the Lord's Supper, come and join us next week. Or if you or you know someone who is interested in baby dedications, come talk to us. Come see us. We would love for you to be a part of that in a very, very special way. Well, today we're starting a brand new sermon series titled Great Faith. Man, I am pumped for this sermon series. We're going to be here for just a few weeks, but I'm excited to talk about this sermon series. And we're going to kick it off in a reading in the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and bring out your Bibles. Bring out them Bibles, y'all. Whether it's physically or digitally or maybe just on the screen for you. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. And we go ahead and it reads like this. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. And it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In every prayer for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he, Jesus, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion, or bring it to fulfillment or perfection, whatever your translation says, will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I hold you in my heart. For in my chains, in my defense, in the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partners in grace with me. God is my witness, how I long for all of you with an affection in Christ Jesus. Hey, let's pray and let's call on the Lord and the Holy Spirit to fill us today. Dear Father, we glorify you. Lord, we push away all the things that want to fight for our attention. And we put our attention on you. We put our attention on you so that you may fill us with something better. Fill us with truth. Fill us with grace. Fill us with hope. Fill us with understanding. And Father, today I pray that you do a profound work in our spirits. And the one thing that we realize and the one thing that we walk away with is that Jesus is holy. That he is above all. That he is meant to be exalted in our lives in all that we do. Help us to walk out, Lord, not knowing that maybe our circumstances may not change, our worlds may not change, but you are the God who can change our hearts and our souls and our spirits. Help us to have a greater appreciation of knowing you, of following you. Help us to have a greater understanding of what it means to walk with you in our everyday lives. Father, I ask that you would challenge us today, that you would challenge us, you would move us to what you are calling us towards. And I pray that we would have the great faith to walk in the great work you are calling us to do. It's in your son's perfect name until we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, give it up for the worship team one more time. Give it up for that worship team. Thank you, Noah. He was doing that. And I was so loud. I was like, where did that come from? Well, hey, guys, good morning. One more time. We're going to be starting a brand new sermon series today titled Great Faith. And what I love about this sermon series is we're going to be talking about the good work God is doing in our church. If you're joining us for the first time, we say welcome. Thank you for being here with us. We're glad that you're here. We're just a bunch of sinners who love Jesus, who are desperate for Jesus, and who want to seek him more and more into our lives. For those who have been around with us for a while, whether that's been several years or several months, you have seen God's hand on this campus, right? We have seen God's working in this campus, not in a way because there are more people coming, right? It's been awesome. You know, we just had a staff planning day with our other campuses. And Old Brooklyn, on our own, year over year, we are up 101% year over year. 101% year over year. Statistically, like not a lot of young churches or small congregations do that. But to see that, obviously, we could take a step back and say, look at what God is doing. And what I want to do is, in this sermon series, I want us to have a great appreciation for the work God is doing, but I also want to prepare our hearts for the work God is going to do also. Does that make sense? I want to live in both worlds. As a follower of Christ, I want to live in the world of, man, God, thank you for the people that you've been bringing. Thank you for the work you've been doing, the Sundays we've had, the connections, and all of that. But then also, we must, at the same time, prepare ourselves for the growth and for the good God is going to do. Because we all know God doesn't just work just one time. God is at work all the time. And there's one thing God is for, and that's his church. And what I want to do in this sermon series and in these next few weeks is to prepare each and every one of us individually for what God wants to do through you. Does that make sense? Not through the preacher, right? Because it's very easy to make church about the preacher, about the guy or the person or just a few. But church is meant to say, what is God calling you to do? Where is God calling you to move? And that's my prayer for this sermon series. Every single week, we're going to be looking at the words of the Apostle Paul and how he celebrates the great faith of the churches that he writes to that we see in the New Testament. Years ago, I had a great conversation. I had officiated a wedding. It was one of my earlier weddings that I officiated. Years and years ago, I sat down at the wedding. I sat down and had a great conversation with an atheist. It was a great conversation, right? It wasn't one of those conversations where you ever seen those debates between like apologetics Christians and atheists and they're just dogging each other. You know, they're talking about each other's mama and everything and calling each other stupid and irrational. Right? It's just, right, those debates, you're like, it's just too emotional. I want to step back. But this conversation wasn't a debate. But I can very much tell that the conversation with this young lady that I was having this conversation with, I can tell very early on, she is hungry for God. She is deeply hungry for God. Sure, there are some barriers that must be broken down and some hills that must be climbed and conquered and able to, for her to maybe see God in a certain way. But I find very interesting that she was asking all the right questions, but deep down inside, there was a hunger for God in her heart. And friends, can I tell you what I have seen lately throughout our culture? See, what happens is the world will try to tell you that it's becoming less religious, which is good, but I still see a spirit of hunger for God. What I see in our world today is that people are realizing and people are seeing that the systems and the values and all of the things that try to get your attention, your affection, and your adoration do not work and they fail. Do not work and they fail. And what's happening is that the Spirit of the Lord is drawing in people, and people are becoming hungrier and hungrier for God. Hungrier and hungrier for God. But I find it very interesting. One of the things that keeps people from God isn't necessarily God himself or the things of God or the person of God or the theology or whatever it may be. Here's one thing that I've noticed, being a pastor for this long, here's one thing that I've noticed that gets in the way of some people's relationship with God. You ready? It's the church. Right? It's the church, right? How many of us have heard so many stories of church hurt? Every single week, I'm getting something sent to my email because I'm on that pastoral list that gets sent out stuff from ChristianityToday.com and all this other stuff. People talking about how the church had affected their relationship with God. And it wasn't God that disappointed them. It was man. It wasn't the Almighty God that disappointed them. It wasn't their problem with God, but it was their problem with the ways of the church. Now, I'm not here to preach a sermon on church hurt, and I'm sure some of you, if not all of us, have experienced some sort of pain and hurt and discomfort from the church, and I don't want to belittle that, and I don't want to take that away. I don't want to do any of that, but I do recognize how the church has gotten it wrong. But you ever notice how the media always highlights the church for what they get wrong? And very much, the church stands out for all that it's against, not that what it's for. You ever notice that? Isn't that interesting? The one place where the news, no matter where you turn, right? At this point, I don't know what news station to watch. At this point. But no matter where you turn, somebody's always speaking something negative about the church. And some of that stuff is rightfully so, right? The church has gotten it wrong. But what if, and this is kind of where I want to shift today's message. What if you and I partnered with God and how he changes the narrative of how people think about him and his church? What if moving forward, this is my charge to us individually as a church. What if we were used by God? What if we were used in the hand of God that helped change the narrative of what people think about him and the church? Because here's what I believe, that the church is God's greatest answer to humanity's greatest need. That's what I believe. The church is God's answer to humanity's greatest need. And what Christ is going to invite us in this sermon series, what I feel like God is going to invite us into the sermon series, is to a life where we are living out great faith. Not a faith that just has an understanding of God. Not a faith that just, hey, I do my devotionals every week. Not a faith that says I go to church every Sunday, but a faith that says my life is committed and devoted to making God well known in my life. What if you and I, great faith, what if you and I partner great faith like this? Trusting Christ to be at work in you so people can see him. What if that was great faith? That God is at work in your life so that through you, they see him, right? And they see the glory and the beauty of him more and more. You know, one thing that I've noticed Christians or people that we're very addicted to, we're very addicted to this language called purpose. You ever heard of this? Everybody says, find your purpose. Seek your purpose. Life is all about purpose, which I don't disagree with. I'm not here to say, oh, that's stupid. That's, you know, irrelevant. Don't do that. No, I'm not that time to, it's kind of ignorant preacher, right? I understand that our greatest desire is to seek meaning in our lives. I understand that our greatest desire is to establish purpose, right? But here's what I realized about Christianity. See, in this Christianity, you don't discover your purpose. Rather, Christ brings purpose to you. Here's what I realized in Christianity. You don't discover purpose. You don't discover meaning. Rather, Christ saves you and brings you into a life of purpose. Brings you into a life of meaning. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to talk about to us today, about what it looks like to be a part of a church that is getting it right. To be a part of a church that is partnering with him for a purpose greater than ourselves. That is greater and above what we can think or imagine. So let's go ahead and read Philippians one more time and break this down, and then we can go and get ready for the Browns game that doesn't start at 4 o'clock today. But anyway, thanks a lot, schedule. Here we go. Can anybody wait that long for the Browns to start? It's like, I'm going to take a nap before the game. But so let's go ahead and read Philippians. For those who may not know, Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, the great church leader. We all know about the Apostle Paul. Possibly the greatest Christian to ever live. Started churches, planted churches. But he writes to this particular church, a church that's getting it right. And we're going to talk about how this church is getting it right and maybe some principles that we can establish into our own lives as well. Let's pick up in verse 3. Go to verse 3 with me. He says this. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In every prayer for all of you, verse 4, I always pray with joy. Let me stop there real quick. Let me get a little context one more time. Maybe you've heard this before. Paul is writing this from a prison cell. This is possibly Paul's last letter, possibly. A lot of people think it's 2 Timothy. We don't know. But this is Paul's last letter. And Paul takes the time, even though he's facing death, even though he's facing being martyred for the faith, Paul writes this letter and he says, here's what I'm doing with my time here in prison. I'm thanking God. He says, here's what I'm doing with my time. I'm thanking God. And what is he thanking God for? Well, it's very evident in verses 3 or 4. He says, I thank God for all of you. Paul, along with Timothy and many others, helped plant and start this church in very unfortunate, crazy means. Go back and read the book of Acts. You'll see it gets started in a very interesting way. And Paul, as the leader who's facing death, as the leader, takes the time and he thanks the church for the good work that they're doing. Here's what I want to do. I'm not the Apostle Paul. But I do recognize the fact that God has given me the responsibility of being the leader here. And here's what I want to say to you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for showing up every single week to serve faithfully. Thank you to our volunteers who come early every Sunday, who show up 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m., 8 a.m. Thank you to our leaders who take the time out of their busy, busy schedule to come up and to meet with us. Thank you to all those who have endured all my dumb ideas. Okay, relax now back there, okay? Hey, relax, all right? That was just relax, all right? You know? I honestly, I want to take the time, and I really want to say, church, thank you. Thank you for all the things we've endured. Thank you for having and bringing your best attitude here at church, right? This sermon isn't meant to be preached to you. This sermon is about you. Thank you, guys. And I have so much joy thinking about all the good God is doing in and through the lives of our people. I have so much joy thinking about people who come here every week, even though they're fighting a diagnosis of cancer. Fighting a diagnosis of cancer. Even those who are walking through a season of divorce. With those who are walking in a season of job loss and losing family members. And there's one thing that they stay committed to is their work for Christ. And I want to say, church, thank you, guys. On behalf of Old Brooklyn, on behalf of Christ Church, I just want to say we love you. And, man, we believe that the church is better and has its value because of you. I believe that. People say, what's Old Brooklyn like? I say, come on Sunday and we'll show you. Come on Sunday, I'll show you. I'll show you the people that come in that are bloody and bruised throughout the week, but when they get here, they walk away fresh and healed. They walk away fresh and healed and ready to serve God in a more passionate way, ready to love the Lord their God, ready to love their neighbor as themselves. If you want to know more about Old Brooklyn, I tell people, you got to come and see. Come and see what God is doing in our church. Now, Paul says this in verse 5 that really sticks out. And I want to talk about this. I want to spend some time on this. Paul says, I thank God for my remembrance of you with joy because of your partnership in the gospel, or your partnership with the gospel, or the fellowship in the gospel. Underline that if you have your Bibles. Because of your partnership in the gospel from first day until now. What is this idea of partnership with the gospel? Well, Paul celebrates this church because some of us don't know, but this letter, which is the happiest letter in the Bible, this letter is actually a thank you letter from Paul. Paul, who's in prison, remember if we talked about this weeks and weeks and weeks ago, Paul, who's in prison, was unable to receive aid for his assistance while he's in there, right? If you're in that, if you're in prison in this time and kind of like this time, you need someone to send you money so you can be able to eat and do things for yourself that you need every single day. Paul was unable to get that, but the church in Philippi took up a collection and they sent it to Paul. So this is Paul's way of saying thank you to them. But Paul's just not saying thank you. Paul is seeing God at work in them. Paul is saying, man, you giving these funds was more than what you, it's more than just something you gave to me, but it's something what God is doing in you. And you show evidence of great faith that you are partnering with God in the gospel. And what does it mean to partnership in the gospel? It means that as people of God, they are committed to all that Christ has called them to do. They're committed to all that God has called them to do more and more in their lives, right? They're saying to themselves, I want to be a blessing to someone else. Let me ask you a question. In your relationship with God, does it move you to want to be a blessing to someone? That's a sincere question. Does our relationship with God, is our relationship with God forming within us a lifestyle of generosity and grace? Is our relationship with God forming within us a passion and a zeal that says, God is so good, And I just want others to see how freaking good he is, right? Is there a passion? Is there something that motivates us to not just to do the normal religious day-to-day Christian things, but rather to say to themselves, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Therefore, I am going to shine for Christ more and more throughout the week. Is there something in us that is stirring up a commitment for the cause of Jesus Christ? Is there something stirring within each and every one of us? This is a church that their great faith was known because of their commitment to all that God has called them to do. And I want to share with you just a few things of what we can do to partner with God this week, or just in these next several months, or whatever it may be, right? Remember, we want to prepare ourselves for what God is calling us to do, right? Right? Each and every one of us collectively, individually, have a role to play in God's great plan in this church, and God's great purpose for our campus. Because I don't know about you, but if you sit down in a meeting with me, you can ask Logan this, you can ask Haley this, you can ask Sally this. I'm a big visionary and a dreamer. And I'm vision and dreaming of a church where wounded couples can come in and find healing. I'm dreaming and I'm thinking of a church with people who are struggling with addiction and in a need for recovery. But the first place people think about outside of the church is the church. I'm thinking of a place where teenagers can come and serve and be a part of God's mission, and they can find themselves a part of something that is bigger than themselves. I'm a big visionary, y'all. I'm a big dreamer, and I only want to do that because I have a great faith in a God that can do some great things here at Old Brooklyn, and I believe it starts with you saying yes to what God is calling you to do. That's what I believe. So I want to give you, listen, I want to give you just a few things you can do this week. Very simple things. Ready? Very simple things. Number one, invite someone to church. Very easy. That's simple. But you know, sometimes we get a little bit nervous. We get a little bit hesitant when it comes to talking about people outside of church to come to church, right? Because we know some people don't like church, and we get that. Right? I'm not asking you to be worried about the response. I'm asking you to be concerned with the invitation. Right? When was the last time you said, hey, there's this really weird preacher I want you to hear? He thinks he's funny, but he's not. Whoa, Trev. Whoa, hey, Logan. Say, can you go get that guy back there? Yep. Whoa, wait a minute. Right? Right? When was the last time you invited someone to church? You know, the one thing, and I want to call this out, and this person's going to get mad at me, but I knew they were going to be here this week because I looked on Planning Center. I want to thank our teenagers. Our teenagers have invited so many of their friends to come to church. I mean, I have been a youth pastor before I became a campus pastor for 6 years. And these teenagers, they're literally telling their friends, come to church with me this Sunday. Come to church with me this Sunday. No matter where they are, no matter what I've seen, and I say, God, I want that kind of faith. I want that kind of faith. I want this, like, they're doing more to me than I'm doing for them. Right? And I want them I want us to have a reflective faith like them, that where we say, we just go to people and we just invite them to church. We invite them to our life groups. Many of us are a part of life groups and classes. We just invited people. We just say, come and join and be a part of this, whatever it may be. And number two, I want to say this, inviting people, before I go to number two, inviting people is a bold way to share your faith. Sharing your faith is one way we do that, is through inviting people. Number two, this is the number one. The second thing, be overly optimistic and less grumpy. Y'all Y'all ready to close? Dear Father, pray for these sinners in here. You know, the one thing I can never understand as a grumpy Christian, I can never, it blows my mind. Now, I'm not here to say tragedy doesn't hurt. I'm not here to say that Christians, we're called just to skim over and skip over our brokenness and pain and hurt. I'm not here to say any of that. But you know who should be the happiest people in this world, no matter who's in the White House, no matter what's going on in the education system, no matter what's going on in sports. Oh, my gosh. The way people lose their mind when the Browns lose, it's like, you should have saw it coming. They suck. They're not great. Okay, I'm sorry, right? LeBron was the only one that gave us something to look forward to. But anyway, right? Like Christians, we lose our mind over silly, excuse my language, stupid things. I mean, think about it. We are that stretched and we allow the world to really carry and instill our hope and joy that quickly. You know who should be the most hopeful people? You know who should be the most joyful people? Our followers of Jesus. Right? Are people who know Christ, love Christ, who serve Christ. Now, I'm not saying, again, one more time, this doesn't mean we don't have tragedy. We just say, I got the joy, joy, joy. You know, you don't just do that all the time. I get that. But I find it's interesting. There's so many people that are just angry all the time. And you know the world needs less of? Angry people. Right? What if we were to show the light of Christ every single day and say, yeah, man, that's unfortunate that happening, but the Lord is my strength, right? Man, this is unfortunate that we're a part of this, but the Lord fights our battles. There is a king who rules over everything, and I'm not going to lose sleep because of what somebody said or what somebody did. Rather, I'm going to walk faithfully because I know the great I am who is over all and above all and in all. That's the call of the Christian. Be overly optimistic and less grumpy. Number three. Number three, live out an authentic faith. Live out an authentic faith. Don't think that walking with God is you trying to look perfect. Right? Right? You and I understand this one thing. We fail God often. We've talked about this before. We fall short of the glory of God. And what people need is not a perfect Christian, but Christians who are constantly finding their strength in Christ more and more. Right? Live out an authentic faith. Right? Right? I'll never forget years ago, I was being a religious Pharisee to someone, and I'm like, how could you do that? How could you allow that to happen in your life? Or it was something that happened. I'm not going to go into detail about what it was specifically, but I found it interesting the way they responded to me. They said, hey, I'm a work in progress. And I was like, you know what? That's a good point. We're all under construction. We're all under construction, right? And Christians, right, we have to realize that our goal isn't trying to look perfect so people can look at us and say, look how great you are. But it's actually through our brokenness we can point people to Jesus even more. In our letdowns, in our failures, people can see, man, how could you do that? Well, this is why I follow Christ. Because I'm a sinner. This is why I need Christ. I don't follow Christ because he makes me this perfect person. He's the perfect one. But he's also the one that is helping me overcome sin and brokenness more and more in my life. Last but not least, I want to talk about this last point, and then we will close. Notice Paul says this, my favorite part of this. This is why I chose this verse. Look what he says. Being confident of this, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion or bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is what Paul is saying here. When you come to faith in Christ, there is the work of salvation. You come to faith. That's only done by the Holy Spirit. You do nothing to earn salvation. It comes to you. God comes, knocks down the door, grace floods your heart, you're filled with the Spirit, you're saved. But then, God doesn't just save you, God then now begins to work in you. Because God meets you where you are, but he doesn't leave you how you are. Does that make sense? He meets you where you are, but by the work of his Spirit, he doesn't leave you how you are. There's this thing called progressional sanctification, where God now is working in you, where you were once somebody who was super impatient, but now God's helping you establish the fruit of patience. You were once somebody that blew up and was angry at every little thing. Now God is at work in you so that you can be somebody of self-control, the fruit of self-control, right? Right, God is at work in you. But Paul chooses this language, not that we would focus on how God is growing us, but rather Paul uses this language, God at work in you. And notice he says he does a good work, not a bad work. God does a good work in you. And the good work in you is so that when people see you, they are seeing Christ at work in your life. The Christ at work in your life. And people are drawn to Jesus because of what Jesus is doing in you. They're drawn to Christ. They're seeing something different about your life that says, what is going on with that person? And they see the good work done by the Good Shepherd himself. One of my favorite pastors is in Denver, Colorado. Runs a huge church. 17,000 people go there. Okay? I pray to God. I do not want 17,000 people to come here. Listen, I can barely handle y'all. Okay? No, I'm joking. Yeah, no, I'm joking. Bring it back, Jamon. Bring it back. I forgot I'm in the room with people. But every week, he talks about how he sits down with this gentleman by the name of Rayshon. Rayshon is serving a 78-year prison sentence in Denver's correctional facility. Rayshon is someone who caught himself in a very, very bad situation. And now he's serving 78 years. He's going to spend the rest of his life. He is going to die in prison. But I love this pastor. He said, every week I sit down with this young man. Why does he sit down with him? But Rayshon, in the midst of him going to prison, he found Jesus. Christ met him in the prison cell. He gave his life to Christ. Christ began to be at work in him. Christ began to restore him. Y'all, do y'all know Rayshon? Listen to this. Rayshon started a church in prison. He started a church in prison. And now, and he's been there for probably like 3 or 4 years or something like that. I can't remember the day timeline. In three or four years, they literally live stream his prison sermons to 38 different facilities. And he preaches to 2,000 people weekly. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because what I love about that story, and here's the thing. It took prison for Jesus to get all of them. That's what Rayshon says. It took prison for Jesus. And I find it so interesting. He's doing more work than I am, and I'm free. Right? He's doing way more work than I am. But what does he do differently? He has somebody that says, I'm going to use my life in a way so that Christ can be known through me. So Christ can be known through me more and more. And this is the question I'm going to ask each and every one of us every single week. What is God calling you to participate in? Because coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't make you a Christian. Just coming here and being here. I'm glad you're here. We love it that you're here. We're helped that you're, right? But it's partnering with God. And saying, Lord, use my life. for whatever means you wanted to? What if we were more conscious of what God is doing in our lives and what God is calling us to in our lives? So every week, we're going to pose this question. And then the very last week, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment, not to Christ Church. No, not just to Christ Church. But we're going to ask you to make a commitment to God, right? Because partnering God doesn't mean drop what you're doing and go into ministry and become a pastor and then one day give a sermon up here or sing or whatever it may be, right? Partnering God would be just for the sake of your family. Partnering God can be just for the sake of what you do at your job. Partnering God can do for the sake of whatever you do with your life. But the question we must ask ourselves, what is God calling us to participate in? Where in our faith can we stretch ourselves a little bit more? Because it's easy to get comfortable in Christianity today. It's easy to get comfortable and say, well, I just do this and do this and do this and do this, and that's fine. Well, when God's saying there's so much more that I want to do in your life, and what if you partner with me more so that you can see and others can see the goodness that I am? What if that was our conviction throughout this week, but these next several weeks in this series? Let's pray. Dear Father, would you please help us to have a framework of Christianity in a way that's more than just bless me, but Christ being at work in me and through me. Father, I pray that we hear the call of your Spirit move us in the direction of more. Not to add to our schedules, but to align to what life is truly all about. I pray that we would hear your voice and say, God, what are you calling me to do today? And for us today, Lord, I pray that you continuously use those who are walking faithfully with you in this way. I pray that you would bless them abundantly and profoundly in all the work that you give them. But I also pray for those who, they hear this message and they know this message is for them. And I pray that they would have the faith like the Apostle Peter and James and John when Christ came up to them while they were busy fishing. And he says, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And I pray that those who are sensing the prompting of your Spirit, that their response isn't, but I already have enough on my plate. I don't know if there's much that I can do. What can I offer? I pray that their response is that they leave their nets, they leave the boat, and they say, whatever you want to do, Lord, I'm available and I'm ready. Lord, I pray that as a church that we can prepare ourselves for the good work you're going to do. Because you are going to do a good work in our church. You're going to bless our church with more than we could ever expect. And I pray that we would have hearts and minds ready to do all that you're going to bring to us. Would you help us? Lord, even if it's just one person, you said to yourself, that is enough. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is what we pray. Amen.